Tallahassee, we voted and we won. We came together as a community, and because of it, we were awarded the Levitt Amp Music Grant, given to cities to help facilitate a series of live music shows. Over the next 3 years, we will celebrate 21 live concerts. And today, we are joined by the people and organizations that help make it possible. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and like always, we are joined with an incredible guest that are going to give us an incredible conversation. We have joining us Victoria Bridenstine, who is one of the vice presidents of the Levitt Family Foundation, and our own Kathleen Spihar, who is the executive director of COCA. Thank you guys both for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Absolutely.
So, Victoria, first of all, thank you for coming all the way from LA. You should know that for the past 6 months, 7 months, the city has been on fire with news in one way or another that we may receive the Levitt Amp Music Grant. And then once we received it, the city was on fire for a whole nother reason. It is going to bring a lot of life to Tallahassee. It's going to decorate our streets in a way that is only beneficial. And so first of all, thank you for helping to lead the charge and govern an organization that is just going to give so much to us.
Well, thank you for that. But I always say thank you to the community, because it really was the community that brought this grant to Tallahassee. A part of the application process was the voting. And so you all rallied together and you voted for this application, for this grant. And so that is really the exciting part. That means that there's already community buy-in. And so we're excited to be a partner, and we're excited to see what happens over the next 3 years. Experience some really great music, but then also some really great collaborations with partner organizations and activating the public space. And so it's an exciting time.
You know, you just said something in your last answer that's a perfect segue to one of the things that I was going to mention next. There are certain goals or pillars of the Levitt Family Foundation, specifically through the grants that it distributes. And one of those that I thought was so incredible, I'm going to go through all three, but using underserved public spaces, or underused public spaces, I should say. I thought that that is such an incredible angle, because any city you go to, any town you go to, there is a space that is perfect for something that's not being used for that. Talk to us a little bit about how rewarding the work has been to see communities converge in spaces that they don't even use all the time in their own backyards.
Yeah, well, at their best, public spaces are places where everyone should feel welcome to come and to attend and to use. And there are so many public spaces across the country that are barely used.
Sure.
But we're also going through something that is really damaging to our communities, and that's isolation and loneliness. But if we have these public spaces that are activated with the arts or with music or other programming, then that brings people together. And it really, it touches on so many things. It touches on wellness. It touches on health. It touches on joy. Like, so that is what's exciting for us, to see these public spaces activated. We say that we're building community through music. So music is the starting place. But then these public spaces, it starts there, and then it has the ripple effect all throughout your towns and your cities across the country. And so it's really exciting. And I feel very privileged to be a part of that and to partner with communities that they're seeing this in their community. They're seeing that there's a space that's not activated that actually can be used, and a space that can bring folks together, a space that can affect the economy, a space that can affect health and wellness, a space that really is might have a history, but it can be reclaimed. So it's really rewarding and awesome.
Before I get into the partnership that you kind of spoke about between you all and COCA and broader the city, you brought up one of the favorite words of this programming, which is inclusivity. You know, art and culture are the greatest things in the world, you know, if I get to tell the story. But often, one of our linchpins is the fact that we are sometimes exclusive for whatever reason, whether it's ticket sales or whether it's because, you know, it's a subjective sport and not an objective sport. The inclusivity that you talk about, do you get to see that inclusivity in real time with these projects, or is it something that you see in hindsight, or is it something that undergirds the very work that you do, or all three?
Well, we see it in real time when there's intentional outreach, when there's intentionality behind it. And so, yes, sometimes we see that there are wonderful nonprofits that, you know, they have a reputation. And when they put on an event, everyone knows that, you know, it's going to be wonderful. But they're putting it on in isolation. It's their thing. We see, though, the greatest impact when you are actually partnering and collaborating with everyone and different organizations within your community. When you're partnering and collaborating with different organizations and people and leaders and like nonprofits and businesses and social groups, and that means that it's going to be reflective of your community. And it really does, you know, it takes on a whole new word of that, a whole new meaning of inclusivity. It really just takes on like pride of place. And then also, you know, it takes on, I'm spending time with folks that I otherwise may not spend time with. I might not cross paths with that person normally. But when it's done with intention, yeah, we see that inclusivity.
These events turn into little passports. They allow people to take trips to places that they might have otherwise not gone. Ah, that was such a splendid answer. In that answer, you said that you get to partner with organizations that have incredible reputations. I may be biased as a Tallahassee boy, but one of those organizations joins us today. COCA, the Council on Culture and Arts, is so much to this community and broader than that. In some ways, a lifeline, in some ways, an ally. Kathleen, talk to me a little bit. I know that this idea wasn't birthed through COCA, but as far as Tallahassee is concerned, it was, because you guys were the vehicle that bought us the opportunity to get the Leavitt Grant. And so what did that look like? How did we find out about the Leavitt Grant? How did we shoot for it? And then what happened in the subsequent activity?
Well, I noticed how the Leavitt Family Foundation is doing this fantastic work throughout the country with mid-sized and smaller cities especially.
Yeah.
And you know, there's not always an investment from a national funder in mid-sized and smaller cities, but Leavitt has taken that on. That's attracted my attention. Then I also found out about Leavitt through my contacts through what I call the Music Cities Initiative. And that's something, when I first came to town a few years ago, I had developed some relationships with an organization that also goes around the country and basically helps build music cities. So do you have musicians in town? Do you have venues? Like, do you have all the ingredients to build up your music community? And when I came to Tallahassee, and I've known about Tallahassee a long time before that, I saw all those ingredients that were in place. All we need to do is put them all together. So started what with Music Cities, and the folks that I met through the Music Cities kind of introduced me to some of the ways that Music Cities grow. And so I noticed all the great work that Leavitt was doing. And I said, you know, I just need to get to know these funders better. And, you know, because I wanted to see how they were working with other cities to say what kind of opportunities could happen with Tallahassee. So it started actually a few years ago, and, you know, Leavitt's at every one of these Music City conferences, and I just started to get to know other staff members there. And then this opportunity came forward for our city to jump into this opportunity to this contest for funding through Leavitt. And I talked to our partners. You know, we have lots of partners in the area, but we talked specifically to our partners at the Downtown Improvement Authority because of the idea of bringing people into places that exist and have been place kept. I brought them into places that have been engaged in placemaking, but what we're talking about here is placekeeping. And so when we looked at what are the areas of the Levitt Family Foundation, what are the different programs that we could potentially activate, we decided that Levitt AMP was the best fit for this community, and we being ourselves in the Downtown Improvement Authority. So we worked together on putting a grant in, and then as Victoria talked about, the community got behind this idea, and it has just burst open from there. Absolutely. All the way through a grant to putting this concert series, Levitt AMP Tallahassee, Music Under the Oaks, on its feet, and then launching that program on April 9th.
Mm. Great answer. And you brought up, you guys are just giving me the greatest segues ever. You brought up in your last answer, small to mid-sized cities. So I'm an art and culture nerd, and I know I don't look like a nerd. I know I look like a Disney prince, but I am. You weren't supposed to laugh at that. Anyways, I am a nerd. And getting in the weeds on this thing, I don't know if either of you have ever heard of what they call blue dot fever. But if you haven't, it is the phenomenon that's kind of sweeping the country right now, where so many huge acts are going and touring in these large cities. And when they go on the Ticketmaster or whatever the avenue is to see the tickets, there's so many blue dots, which means empty seats, because these cities are inundated with art and culture every day of the week. And it's appearing that people have options. And with options, sometimes people win and sometimes people lose. It seems like the mid to smaller cities don't have these same problems. There's such a hunger and a thirst for live music and live eventing that we really not only are privileged to have these opportunities, but carry that football down the field every time. Is working with mid-size and small cities something that the Levitt Family Foundation wants to do more of, to kind of spread the wings on that type of programming?
Yes. This program is growing tremendously. Mm. We're currently in over 60 small towns and mid-sized cities across the country. And that is something that's just going to continue to grow. Also, what's really interesting about this program is that all Levitt concerts are free. So while your city might have access to the arts, you might not have as much access to high-level artists who are performing at the concert.
Sure.
That's free for folks to attend. Now, the artists are always paid. We are an artist-friendly organization, so artists are always paid, but the concerts are always free. So even if, you know, you have wonderful programming in different squares, or maybe, you know, there's paid performances happening around town, the free aspect of it isn't always there. And so this is a really great opportunity for folks from all generations to be able to come together and enjoy the concert. We are definitely growing. We are a spin down foundation. And what that means is by 2041, our doors are going to be closing. But before then, between now and then, we're ramping up our spending. And we really do believe that every town, every city should actually have music in their public spaces. And so we're beginning to not only fund more Levitt AMP, Levitt Vibe, Levitt Block music series across the country, but we're also thinking about sustainable partnerships. So when we walk away, there are local governments that are invested and they want to keep this going. So yes.
Let me say something. It's almost like we rehearsed this interview before. I had never heard the terminology spin down organization. I knew the concept, but I had never heard it called that. As you were speaking about the 60 cities and the 60 places just for this particular grant through the Levitt Family Foundation, I was thinking, these people are building a legacy. Every one of these places that they touch now not only knows the name Levitt, but also knows the blessings and the benefits of something like Levitt. And to then find out that you guys are an organization that will not exist into perpetuity, it is almost like a death, prepare a will, preparing these communities long after Leavitt is gone, which actually makes it that much more valiant. My question is, in the Leavitt page, it says something about helping cities find their own unique identities. Tallahassee's the greatest place on planet Earth, but some people say we struggle with identity. Are we a college town, or are we a this, or are we that? How important is identity for place?
Well, I would say that we're not helping you find your identity. Every Leavitt community has its own identity. And so while we provide structure for the music series, each music series really looks and feels like the place it is in. And so, again, it's about intentionality. And so as you are continuing to grow and develop your music series, and it's wonderful that we're a multi-year funder. So the first year, you know, you're just now trying to get your footing. Second year, third year, you start to ramp up and you start to realize some of the areas that you can grow and further develop. And as you're doing that, you're actually communicating and partnering and building relationships with different groups in your community to, again, make this reflective of your city. And so we focus more on providing structure for, because a lot of our grantees have never put on a concert series before. What they have done is they've done community events, and so they know how to plan community events, but they might not know how to put on concerts with touring acts and you know, negotiating contracts and really making it feel and look like a community event. Based on our experience, we provide tools and resources. We're more than a funder that gives grants. We provide additional support and tools and resources ongoing. And one of the reasons that I'm here actually is it's not just to see that the funds are being used at the concert. No, because we're in partnership, I'm actually speaking to the different partners who are helping bring this concert series to life. I'm actually learning more about Tallahassee. I'm learning about some of the wonderful things about Tallahassee, but then also learning about some of the challenges that's happening. And then I'm thinking, how might we better support our partner in Tallahassee? And so it's not about, you know, helping you necessarily find that your identity, but it is helping you tap into what you already have.
Sure. Kathleen, talk to me about how important it is to do just what she said, to not find our identity, but to maintain, facilitate, and expose parts of it that we might not have known were here
exactly.
before.
Well, we found each other, too, in partnership, I think, at the perfect time. And we understand and appreciate what legacy means to a community. And this community has such deep roots in creativity and history, in innovation through creativity and passion. Passion for this, the geography of this area, passion for the stories that everyone wants to tell. So what I look at is what's the architecture that needs to be behind this in order to make sure that moves forward and carry forward. Partnerships, new partnerships especially, like we're talking about with Leavitt, where we're on the same page about what needs to happen, the investment in place, how important that is, and carrying this forward to what I call the Leavitt legacy, kind of building on that idea, right, that those are some building blocks and how we can make that happen more for our community in Tallahassee.
And Kathleen, really quick before I close out, what will be the mechanics for the concert series that's coming to town? Is it something like 21 shows over the course of a certain amount of time?
So this is the first of 3 years, and we have 8 concerts per year. We also have an opportunity because Leavitt Foundation is also an incentive based foundation. So we have some opportunities to earn some additional funding through other initiatives, through a hashtag Music Moves initiative. And if we decide to do some additional series, series concerts, we might be able to add those in if we can also use the Levitt Foundation funding to leverage other funding for the series. So when you come to a Levitt concert this summer, you'll see that there's a hashtag Music Moves. That's one way to help us earn some additional leveraging. There's also ways to donate. So we are continuing to look at expanding this the series next year, the year after.
Got you. In closing, I will say one of the themes that came up today was the Levitt legacy. And as far as Tallahassee is concerned, we are so happy that we now get to be a part of that Levitt legacy. Another theme was family. We are so proud that we get to be a part of the Levitt family. And as the old adage goes, love it or leave it. From now on in Tallahassee, we say love it or leave it. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.